Welcome to Daily Devotion with Ken Gurley. Devotions designed to inspire you on your daily walk with God. Each day we walk through the vital principles of the abundant life. Our Lord can do above and beyond all we ask or think. Here's your host, Ken Gurley.
Calamity. That's an odd word. A calamity is defined as an event that brings great misfortune, terrible loss, grievous affliction. It's used commonly to describe disasters like a flood, a drought, a failed harvest, the death of a loved one. It's rooted in an old French word that means disaster, misfortune, or adversity. Calamities come in waves, wave after wave of misfortune and adversity, economic threats, injustices, natural disasters. In the last days, perilous times or calamitous times will come. We live in the last of the last days. The word calamity is also a Bible word, and that's where we see an aspect of God that we may find troubling. It's easy, it's convenient, it's accepted, it's in vogue to say bad things happen to good people, but God had nothing to do with it. And indeed, God does not sin, does not prompt people to sin or tempt them to sin. That's the word of God. But we fall short of a biblical worldview when we fall into the trap of saying, God is good, therefore any bad thing that happens to me is not of God. It's a trap. Why? Because when we confine God to only pleasant experiences, only the nice things, or as Israel of old did, confine him to be the God of the mountains and not God of the valleys, then we miss God at the most calamitous moments of our lives. Hello, my name is Ken Gurley, and on Daily Devotion this week, we're talking about facing difficult issues. And this is one of those today. God and calamity are often found together in Scripture. In fact, here's the first use of the word in the Bible in the Song of Moses, the 32nd chapter of Deuteronomy. To me belongs vengeance and recompense. Their foot shall slide in due time, for the day of their calamity is at hand. And that is God speaking. We remember that at the close of the Bible that heaven will sing both the song of Moses and the song of the Lamb. This song of Moses says that calamities come upon people who forsake God, who practice abominations and worship false gods. That as surely as night follows day, calamities come to those who forsake God. But here's the curious thing in the 18th Psalm. The psalmist said that people prevented me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my support. That when calamity came, the psalmist said, people attacked him in his distress. They came upon him. They confronted him when he was in trouble, but God was there for him. God supported him. So we see that calamities come from forsaking God. Comfort in those calamities come from God himself. It troubles a lot of modern scholars to read in the Old Testament of the God who brings calamities, who laughs at calamities, who mocks people's fears, who promises calamities will come upon the wicked suddenly. The God who says things like, the calamity of Moab is near. The God will bring calamity upon Esau, and he pledges to bring calamity from all sides. What are we to make of this? Many will simply say, oh, that's the God of the Old Testament, the God of the law, not the God we serve today. And that's a very appealing argument to think that God would never permit anything bad to happen, to think that life will be peaches and cream, that we would be spared the calamities that have come to this world. Through her sin, through her waywardness to God, this world is suffering. Do you remember Jesus' teaching when he referenced some calamities? In Luke 13, he reminded his audience how Pilate had ordered the execution of some Galileans right as they were making sacrifices to God in the temple. He also reminded them of how a tower in Siloam collapsed, killing 18 people. Jesus asked, do you think you're more righteous than these people? Do you think they deserve to die more than you did? Jesus then said, repent, or you too will perish. You see, this is one of the hard sayings of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the Jesus we don't know too much about. the one who views things in the light of eternity, not solely in our convenience for this life. He's the Jesus who makes us feel uncomfortable, the one who challenges our preconceived notions. It's tempting to say or to hint that God does not cause calamities. But we find in the Bible God does cause some calamities. In Isaiah 45, 7, when God is calling and raising up Cyrus, God says, I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create calamity. I, the Lord, do all these things. God makes peace. God creates calamity. God calms things down. God stirs things up. God is good. So ultimately, there's no calamity he brings that doesn't work for good. So let's get biblical here. Paul said in Ephesians 1, God works all things after the counsel of his will, all things. All things means all things. Whether it's the storm that came against Jonah, the fall of the sparrow to the ground, the changing of the mind of a king, the suffering of good people, the miracles of healing, the giving of life, the taking of it. Yes, even Calvary is part of that all things. Amos asked, if a calamity occurs in a city, has not the Lord done it? The word calamity is associated with one man in Scripture, Job. You find the word mentioned several times in his ordeal. Remember what Job said after he lost his 10 sons, the Lord gave, the Lord take away, blessed be the name of the Lord. We like to sing about the God who gives, but we struggle with the one who takes away. When Job was covered with boils, do you remember what he asked? Shall we accept good from God and not accept affliction? Wait a minute. That was Satan, not God. Satan went from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot to the crown of his head. Satan did that. It's what we read. But Job looked at his problems differently. Shall we accept good from God, but refuse to accept affliction? In fact, when Job was written, what's thought to be the oldest book of the Bible? Do you remember what was written in Job 42? That Job's brothers and sisters came to him, consoled and comforted him for all of the afflictions the Lord had brought upon him. We're very quick to blame others for our pain and to likewise blame the enemy of our souls for that very pain. There's no doubt the enemy's alive and at work, but I find great comfort in knowing that God is at home in calamities and that in everything I go through, there's a nail-scarred hand reaching to me. That nothing happens to me that hasn't gone through him first, and he knows what's best for me. You may ask, where is your faith? I would ask, where is your trust? I trust God. I trust that he can speak to me in the good times. He can draw me near in those seasons of comfort and joy. That God can whisper to me and bless me and strengthen me. I have also found that when God permits the bad times to come, or to use biblical language, when God creates calamity, then God speaks to me there as well. And he reminds me that I'm no better than the prophets who lived difficult lives, who were mocked and ridiculed and even killed. That I'm no better than the apostles who, save one, we believe, gave their lives for the cause of Christ. I'm certainly no better than our Lord, who prayed that the bitter cup would pass from him, but it did not. In a God-ordained, God-planned moment, the lamb slain from the foundation of the world would be slain by the ones he created. And I think back to one of those curious songs we sang years ago, one of those songs that sort of was there, we sang it, but we didn't know where it came from. I've got a long way to go to be like the Lord. I've got a long way to go to be like him. I've got to be merciful, dutiful, faithful, and true, kind, and just in all that I do. I've got a long way to go to be like the Lord. But it's the verses that intrigue me today, for they show us how God speaks to us in difficult times. I don't remember trudging up a rugged hill with a cross upon my back. I don't recall a thorny crown placed upon my brow. And now that I look back, I've never been spit upon, ridiculed, wounded in my side. Life's no bed of roses. Still I'm alive. The second verse shows how God takes calamities and points us onward. Instead, I'm traveling onward, upward, daily, Lord, am I, on my way to victory. Strengthen me, encourage me, deliver me, I pray. I know my weakness. That is why I say, I got a long way to go to be like the Lord. This is what life teaches us. This is how God speaks to us through calamities, that we recognize our own frailties and shortcomings, and we look to Him and we rely upon Him. Rather than getting focused on why did this happen to me or who caused this to happen, learn the lesson of faith. It's always best to turn to God and say, Lord, I'm no better than you. I do better thinking, Lord, that you saw some higher purpose in this, that you're working to bring something good from this. I do better in that mode than to fall back on rebuking and cursing the enemy in the midst of calamities. I'd rather say, God, this must be you speaking to me. And rather than focusing on why, I'm going to focus on the what. What should I do in response to this? What change needs to happen in my life? As Jesus said, don't think God singled out great sinners to permit calamity to come upon them. Rather think, could have been me, probably should have been me, and repent and stay aware of our need for God. I am awakened to that word calamities because I believe that God is using the calamities of this world to bring us into His perfect will, to cause each of us to say, it could have been me, should have been me. There's a question I like in the story of David. It's found early in David's struggle with King Saul. Jonathan, Saul's son and David's friend, purposes to find out his father's heart. In 1 Samuel 20, we read of the father speaking roughly. Sometimes our heavenly father seems to speak roughly. And the question, what will you do when the father speaks roughly? I think we're in such a moment right now. The coarse grinding of calamities are all around us. It's not a divine whisper, but in all of the shouts and the shrieks of this world, we should be able to hear God say, turn to me, turn to me, when the Father speaks roughly. Can I close with some hope here? On the other side of God's rough speech is His tough love. He loves you. And if He didn't, He wouldn't chasten you. He wouldn't try and test your heart. He wouldn't seek the best for your life. He wouldn't challenge you to enter into the heights. He wouldn't have stretched His hands out to die for you and me at Calvary. Those same nail-scarred hands would not be reaching for you if that wasn't love. That's the love of God. So when you're experiencing calamities or adversities or problems in your life, when the Father speaks roughly and you would like to hear the tender voice of the Savior, understand that it's in that rough speech, tough love emerges, and you begin to see life change and transformation. You become more like Him. You become a vessel of honor. The difficulties you face are transforming your life.
Thank you for sharing in Daily Devotion with Ken Gurley. We pray this ministry has been a source of encouragement and strength to you. Please be mindful that your financial support enables us to meet with you each day. To give a donation or connect with us, visit our website at kengurley.com. There you will also find the latest books, podcasts, and resources. Blessed 90 Days to Change Your World is Pastor Gurley's latest book. You can get your copy of this life-changing book at kengurley.com. May God's favor rest on you in every way until we meet again.